Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We are a band of brothers and native to the soil, fighting for our liberty with treasure, blood, and toil. And when our rights were threatened, the cry rose near and far. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. As long as the Union was faithful to her trust, like friends and like brethren, kind we were and just. But now when Northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we'll hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. First gallant South Carolina nobly made the stand. Then came Alabama and took her by the hand. Next quick be Mississippi, Georgia, Florida. All raised on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Ye men of valor, gather around the banner of the right. Texas and fair Louisiana, join us in the fight. Davis, our loved president, and Stephen, statesmen are. Rally behind the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. And here's to brave Virginia, the old Dominion state. Confederacy at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, now other states prepare to hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Then cheer, boys, cheer, raise a joyous shout, for Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let cheer for Tennessee be given. The single star of the bonnie blue flag has grown to be 11. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Then here's to our Confederacy, strong we are and brave. Like patriots of old we'll fight our heritage to save. And rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer, cheer for that bonnie blue flag. Hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if that didn't fire you up, I don't know if anything will. Stirring rendition of the Bonnie Blue Flag as we kick off tonight's third and final hour. And of course, every third hour of the Political Cesspool radio program during the month of April is dedicated exclusively to all things Southern as we continue our annual tribute to Confederate History Month. This year, of course, being Confederate History Month 2012. And of course, as we let people know last week, this isn't something that the Political Cesspool radio program made up. Confederate History Month is a month officially designated each year by several state governments in the South for the purpose of recognizing and honoring the glorious history of the Confederate States of America. April has traditionally been chosen as Confederate Memorial Day falls during that month in many of these states, including Tennessee. Well, we're coming to you tonight from the confines of AM 1380 WLRM radio here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. My skin still has chills from the Bonnie Blue Flag, and I think everyone in the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party enjoyed it as well. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly have a treat for you as we welcome to the show a first-time guest, a gentleman who not only is making his debut appearance on TPC, but a man who is able to do so with us tonight. Yes, he is not calling in, as 99% of our guests do. He is actually in studio with us this evening, and we look forward to giving you the opportunity to get to know not only him, but his work better. He's written an excellent book, and we'll be getting to that in a few moments as well. His name is Perry Short. He is a longtime Confederate reenactor and war between the states history buff. Perry Short has been a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and was an activist in the defense of the Georgia state flag in the 1990s and took part in numerous Southern heritage battles in the South. Perry is the author of Generation of Warriors, a historical novel about the Battle of Chickamauga. Perry Short, I'm shaking his hand as we speak, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you. And I'd like to ask you as an opening question to let the audience familiarize themselves with you, sir. I know because you're a good friend of Bill Rowland. He's talked about you for a long, long time. You have extensive knowledge about the War of Northern Aggression and of Southern heritage. Tell us about your own Confederate ancestry as we kick off tonight's interview.
Well, thanks for having me tonight. But just recently, I found my ninth Confederate ancestor. I have a lot of relatives in Alabama, which is where my mother came from, and my great-great-grandfather. They presented me a picture of him, 44th Georgia, who was in the Battle of Gettysburg. And he, again, is my ninth ancestor, but I am closer to my great-grandfather, just three generations away, Thomas Benton Johnson, my mother's granddad. My mother's 88 years old listening tonight. Her granddad fought in this war for Southern independence. Wow. So, you know, actually about 85% of the Southerners had ancestors in this war, as opposed to 65% of the North. When your homeland is invaded, you tend to get more involved. And so 85% of the Southerners and people listening to this radio show tonight in the South, you probably had Confederate ancestry you don't know about. You should research it. Again, I'm up to my ninth one, and I'm sure I have more. But there was an amazing defense put out by an army that was underfunded, undermanned, no material to fight with. But yet they lasted 4 years against this tyrannical government that won the war and is still in place today. Basically, it was big government versus small government. That's what that war was about. They want to distract you and make you think that it was all about slavery, when in fact only about 8% of the Confederacy owned a slave. And there's only one authority on that question, and that's the 1860 census. And anybody that can do simple math can understand that only about 8% of the South owned slaves. So how do you ignore 92% of anything? That's something that just really spurred me to write this book and to get a word out against all the propaganda that our kids are being taught in schools today.
Yeah, you know, as the incomparable, and I use that word quite often here because we have so many incomparable associates, Sam Dixon wrote, it's incredible, even in the Christian schools today, to see how much you know, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, et cetera, propaganda that we have, and the truth about Abraham Lincoln, a truth that was taken for granted for so many years, has now been distorted as well. And we encourage folks for you to check out Sam Dixon's great article entitled "The Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln." But Perry, you're exactly right about the Confederate ancestry. So many people share it here in the South, whether they know it or not. And when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to get into that, and then we're going to talk much more about Perry's book, Generation of Warriors. Now you can get a copy. Stay tuned.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs, without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, before I go any further, I want to encourage everyone tonight. And we have a jam-packed political cesspool online chat right now. If you're in there or you're listening to us on one of the AM affiliate stations that carries us, if you're listening to us on the internet, remember this website, perryvshort.com. That's Perry, V as in Victor, short.com. perryvshort.com. There you can learn more about our featured guest this hour and his excellent book, Generation of Warriors. It's a novel about the Battle of Chickamauga, and we're going to be talking more about that a little later on this hour. But first, I want to circle back to something Perry said before the last commercial break, and that is that if you lived in the South, there's an 85% likelihood that you descend from one of the glorious ancestors that you have that fought for the South, fought for the Confederacy, fought to defend their homeland. Perry's a first-time guest, so perhaps he hasn't heard the story before. I like to share it. In fact, I think I share it every week during Confederate History Month and about every other week during the rest of the year. But I had an ancestor that fought and died in the service to the Confederate cavalry at Shiloh. And growing up, I can remember seeing his blood-stained saddle. It was my great-grandfather's grandfather. And going down, they were from Corinth, Mississippi, and I got to see that saddle and learn his story growing up. And that is, to me, Perry, as I've said so many times before, that is akin to winning the genetic lottery. I wouldn't trade that ancestry for anything in the world. And unfortunately, it's not something, you know, in the 60s, even as late as the 1960s, 100 years after the war, you had colleges here in the South, particularly Ole Miss, everybody had a Confederate flag there. It's something that seems to be dwindling, at least in public, and we want to make sure, whether it's in public or private, you proudly wave that banner, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a Southerner, there is nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, everything to be proud of. And people like myself and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is here in studio with us still, and Perry Short and so many others, Bill Rowland and the people of our staff and listeners, have gone out there and you fought in the court of public opinion. You have fought to advance this cause. And certainly Perry has as well. And I know, Perry, you were a member of the D.S. Job camp of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And that carries special significance to me because of the man D.S. Job was. And I want to get you to tell his story, right now. I mean, tell a little bit about who D.S. Job was and the ultimate sacrifice he made when his time came.
Yeah, DeWitt Smith Job was cavalryman from Middle Tennessee, Nashville area. He was one that was doing some behind-the-scenes work for the Confederacy. He was caught by the Federals. And instead of turning in who his superiors were and where their location was, he decided to remain silent. Well, that right there brought torture from the federal government in the way of actually cutting his tongue out, gouging his eyes out, stabbing him and beating him numerous times, and the ultimate humiliation. They knew where he was from, and they threw his dead body on his mother's porch. So this was the federal government. Yeah, this was the federal government that invaded the South. You know, we didn't invade them. They invaded us. So this is the kind of thing that went on. And this is a true fact. This happened to DeWitt Smith Job. You can Google him and read about it if you wish.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the heroes of the Confederacy, the likes of which you might not know about if it weren't for shows like this and for heroes like Perry Short, a modern-day contemporary hero that is going out and continuing to tell these stories. DeWitt Smith Job, a man, a Confederate scout who was captured. He had his eyes gouged out. He was beaten, his tongue cut off, dragged behind a galloping horse to his mother's porch. I mean, this was the federal government of Abraham Lincoln. And it still is, as Eddie says. Perry, let me ask you this. For the people who would say, The Civil War could have been avoided. It cost 500,000 American lives. The South should have just not fought that war. The simplest answer for me was that the South just wanted to peacefully secede, as was their constitutional right. It was the North who was their aggressors. It was the North who sought war. What would you say to the people who say, you know, the South could have absolved us from all of this torture had they just laid down their swords?
Well, I guess that means the next time a home invader kicks in your door, you're just going to sit back and watch him and let him take what he wants. You know, we were invaded. Again, it's our homeland. 92% of those that defended the South did not do it to stop any type of slavery or have any involvement in it at all. They defended their homeland. They were invaded, and they rose up to arms and fought the oppressor. And when you go back to the generation prior to that, our constitutional founders, did they not just break away from England, which was a tyrannical government in its own right with the hierarchy they had? They thought there might be a better idea, and Thomas Jefferson and others devised it. Small government, small decentralized government, as opposed to tyrannical centralized government. And this is what we have 150 years later. We're still talking about it. We're still oppressed by this administration we're in, and frankly by the previous administration.
You know, the political cesspool has been a victim of its own success to some extent. I can remember back in 2004 when we were just a local broadcast here in Memphis, and we didn't have the number of affiliates we did now. We didn't have the following that we do now, nationally and even globally over the internet, and we could talk about this. Nothing would please me more, quite frankly, than to talk about the Confederacy 3 hours a week, every week, all year long, and we would never cover the same ground twice. But we are a nationally syndicated program now, but during Confederate History Month, by God, we do make a point to ensure that at least 1 hour of every show during April is going to be dedicated to subjects such as this. And you know, Eddie, as you would agree, the war still continues today. The onslaught, at least in terms of our detractors, their war against Southern heritage and culture continues today. And I know, Perry, you are a man who has stood in the gap in the essence of DeWitt Smith Job and Nathan Bedford Forrest and so many others. And we covered Forrest's legacy last week, a man brought from nothing. He dedicated his fortune to aid the Confederate cause. He enlisted as a soldier of the lowest rank, rose up to be one of the greatest tacticians of modern warfare. I mean, you can't make these stories up. These are stories to be celebrated. The Confederacy, everybody wants to dismiss the South as rubes, as incompetents. They developed the first submarine to ever sink an enemy ship in combat. So there's so many stories that you don't know about the South that you should know about, and this is a reason why you should continue to defend the South into 2012, and as long as you draw breath, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what our guest Perry Short has been doing. We're going to get to his book for the entirety of the last half hour of this program after the commercial break. But Perry, Bill Rowland informed me earlier today that you actually started a phone-in campaign to Coca-Cola to stop commercials that they were running that advocated the changing of the Georgia flag back in the early 90s. How did that work out?
Oh, yeah. Bill Rowland and I both went down and saw who was giving grants to those that declared war on us, and those guys are the NAACP in the 1988 convention. They came out of that and basically declared war on anything, any kind of history of the South. Well, Bill and I went down to the library and found out who was funding them, and what did we find? Coca-Cola. And another story that I was researching this book that I can tell you is at the site of Chickamauga, the adjutant of the state of Georgia advised me that one of the primary funders of the Georgia flag removal was none other than Home Depot, based in Atlanta. Personally, you know, some of my business has to do with rental property. I fix rental houses. I don't spend any money in Home Depot anymore. And I let them know about it. I let Coca-Cola, I don't purchase their products anymore. And we did have a nice letter-writing campaign from the DeWitt Smith Joe camp and got a little bit of token response from Coca-Cola, but we at least stopped some of their revenue stream. And I've also stopped giving to Home Depot because I'm not going to give money to people who fund the destruction of my heritage. They're not going to do it with my money.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be talking with author Perry Short about the book that he wrote, Generation of Warriors, and he has a copy of this book in studio with us this evening, and we look forward to sharing with you its contents as the Political Cesspool returns. Folks, remember to check out the website, perryvshort.com, perryv.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Yeah. We've been working hard, babe, to
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We
gotta get out. Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. 30 minutes left in our three-hour extravaganza this evening, and we're going to make use of every second, that's for sure. Folks, I want to ask you to do me a favor tonight. I want to ask you to go to PerryVShort.com. That V is in Victor. PerryVShort.com. Learn more about the man who is our featured guest tonight during our Confederate History Month salute. And consider buying his book, Generation of Warriors. And I'm reading directly from Perry's website now. Generation of Warriors is a novel that's considered to be historical fiction based on true facts during the Battle of Chickamauga. One of the major battles that took place during the Civil War. Perry spent 9 years researching the history, people, and events surrounding this very significant battle. The actual battle took place in Catoosa and Walker counties in northwest Georgia. The storyline centers around the impact to the Dyer family and their neighboring friends. And Perry Short dedicates this book to his father, Sergeant Vaughn Short, U.S. Marine Corps, who fought gallantly at Pearl Harbor and Iwo Jima, and to his children, Brittany and Jared, who represent the generation that he fought so hard to protect. Very well put. And again, we welcome back to the program Perry Short, a man who for the last 30 minutes we've been giving you the pleasure of being able to get to know him a little bit. He wrote the book Generation of Warriors, and we're going to talk about it now. Perry, take it from there, my friend. Generation of Warriors, what's the book all about?
Well, Generation of Warriors is, just like he just said, it's a historical fiction. What that means is the facts of the battle are in the book, and that's one reason it took me 9 years. I would find out some mistakes that I had written down. I'd go back and erase a couple of chapters just because it wasn't historically accurate. But once I had all that down and in my mind, I then put conversation to the characters who went through it. 17 families were on what became the battlefield of Chickamauga, in particular the Dyer family, D-Y-E-R. And I found a guy that was in the 6th Georgia Cavalry named Spilsby Dyer. He lived on what became the battlefield. Matter of fact, his farm was completely consumed with battle. His house became a hospital. Spilsby Dyer had 8 children at the time. The oldest was 12. The youngest was 1. His 30-year-old wife was left when he went off to defend his homeland. She was left with the farm and 8 children. Again, the oldest is just 12. The youngest is 1. So she definitely had her hands full. In and out, she had Dr. Dyer, who was Spilsby's dad, who would come in and out. He would have an office in Atlanta, and he would also practice medicine among the people of that area, Catoosa County. But basically, she was on her own. And when I started researching the families and what they went through, I started thinking about my own children. My son was 10 years old when I was writing this story. My daughter was just a little bit older than 12 when I started to write this story. So I could relate with how he felt leaving his family, having to go defend his homeland, but yet wondering what's going on at home. And then seeing the armies get closer and closer and closer to his farm, to his neighbors. And darn if they didn't fight right on his farm, you know. So this is true. I mean, this is something that's not made up. It is fact. His house, again, became a hospital for the 14th Corps of the Federal Army, which included amputations. The blood stood in pools on the floor. Blood dripped through the ceiling of the 2-story house. The house was ruined. If you can imagine a smell in the hot Georgia Septembers, that house was completely gone. He lost his house. His farm was a killing field. And I write about, you know, just the everyday emotion of a 35-year-old man and what he felt like with his family going through that. And he could not get to them because they were behind enemy lines. So he really didn't have an idea of what was going on. He assumed his wife had gotten most of the children out, and she actually did, but not all of them came out. So, you know, I tried to find out exactly what happened to the families, and that it just expanded from there. So, but Spilsby Dyer is my main character. I don't know am not related to the Dyers, but once this book came out, I've had an amazing amount of contact from the descendants of Spilsby Dyer, including his great-granddaughter, who had pictures of Spilsby and his wife, Polina, and some of the children. And she said, thanks for writing this book. Thanks for bringing this story to life of what my ancestors went through. But again, we're talking about, and what I want to emphasize is, this is part of the 92% of the Southerners who never owned a slave and who could care less about the rich plantation owner down the road who might have had them. And to think that Spilsby would leave his family, leave his farm, leave his livelihood to go fight to make a rich man richer is totally ludicrous. And anybody with common sense should be able to see through that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Perry Short, I'll tell you what, this is why I wanted not only to have him on the show tonight, but to feature him for an entire hour. Bill Rowland sure knows how to pick up. I'll tell you, friends run in the same circle. Bill recommended this gentleman tonight as a guest. Already I knew he would be good just based upon Bill's recommendation, but tonight you're understanding why I was led to dedicate the entire hour to Perry Short, his work, his book. And Perry, you know, we mentioned earlier during your introduction that you have participated as a reenactor in some of these battles. And let me ask you this, did reenacting inspire you to write Generation of Warriors, or did the ongoing struggles to protect Southern heritage lead you to write this book?
Well, a little of both. You know, actually, when I was just a little bit older than Spilsby Dyer himself, and again, you know, I have to reiterate, I'm raising a family, and I'm writing about Spilsby and his family. But yes, reenacting and being in the smoke and having your head in a concussion state after hearing cannon after cannon fire, yeah, it was a little bit of an inspiration to me to write this book. But I think the main inspiration was, before I knew about the Dyer family, is both sides of my family came together and fought in this battle. My dad's side of the family fought with Robert E. Lee, the Army of Northern Virginia. Robert E. Lee, after the Battle of Gettysburg, let one of his three corps go to General Braxton Bragg to help them. They traveled by train 990 miles from Richmond, Virginia to Ringgold, Georgia. And they could not go through eastern Tennessee because the tracks were torn up. They had to go due south to Augusta, up to Atlanta, and then up to Ringgold. 990-mile trip with Longstreet's Corps. But that's my dad's side of the family coming in. Well, my mother's side of the family is already there with the Army of Tennessee, with General Braxton Bragg. So it's the only battle where both of sides of my ancestry came together, fought, and then General Longstreet's Corps went back to Virginia after this. So there's no other battle. It's a very unique one. It's the bloodiest two-day battle of the war. The only battle that was more bloody than this was Gettysburg, and that was a three-day battle. We just went through Shiloh. We just talked about Shiloh last week because that was 150th anniversary. Shiloh, with the 23,000 casualties that it had, will tack on 11,000 more casualties, and that's what you have at Chickamauga. But the inspiration primarily came from both sides of my family. It did come. I did get some experience with reenacting in some of the things I wrote. You know, I just really felt some sympathy for the people that went through it once I started researching it. And, you know, how would you feel? I mean, you with a young child, I mean, you've got a young child yourself. How would you feel if you went to defend your homeland and you would have to leave your child? You know, what kind of emotions would you have? You know, Spilsby, I really think, had a hatred for the enemy, and I write about that.
You know, I've thought about that, and I've actually written about that a time or two. You know, all of these unconstitutional wars, all of these senseless wars that America has gotten us in. You know, we haven't even declared a war since the Second World War, and many could argue that even that didn't, you know, wasn't worthy of our participation. But I'll tell you this. If there's one war in the history of civilization that I would have fought in, it would have been the war to save our southern homeland, and I would have willingly fought and died for that, even if it meant risking my life and taking my life for my wife and child. That's how much I believe in the cause. And I don't say that lightly. So, yeah, if you're going to go and you're going to risk that, I mean, you're talking about Southerners who basically in that day and age were the embodiment of the Christian soldiers that we so often romanticize. Yeah, if I was going to go, I was going to go with a righteous conviction. And as Stonewall Jackson said, I would have raised the black flag. Perry, you as a reenactor, speaking of Jackson and raising the black flag, it takes me back to that incredible scene. And we actually played this entire clip last week on the show. Of course, they couldn't see it. They could only hear it. But it's Stonewall Jackson's speech during the movie Gods and Generals, which I have here in the studio. We're going to talk more about that and more with Perry Short after this commercial break. One more segment forthcoming. Stay tuned, everybody. We got to get out.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have saved, trust me, the best segment of this whole show tonight for last. The last 10 minutes of the cesspool now upon us. Perry V. Short, our guest tonight, he wrote the book, Generation of Warriors. You can check it out. Buy it. I encourage you to do so at perryvshort.com. I knew from experience that many reenactors were part of the movie Gods and Generals, and you'll remember that Warner Brothers contacted me last year to help them promote the re-release of Gods and Generals, which was re-released, of course, for the 150th anniversary of the onset of the War Between the States. And we gladly did so. So we worked with Warner Brothers to publish the re-release. And as Perry and Eddie the Bombardier Miller is my witness, I have two down here. On the far right, we have the Gods and Generals and Gettysburg Blu-ray commemorative edition, 150th anniversary, Warner Brothers release. They sent me a couple of complimentary copies for helping them promote it. Little did I know until just the last commercial break that my guest tonight, Perry Short, can be found in both of those films. We have not only author Perry Short, but movie star Perry Short. Tell us a little bit about it, Perry.
Well, at best, I'm considered what's called a background artist. I'm just a guy, a troop in the background. So there was a lot of reenactors that went up and filmed Gettysburg in July of 92. And that was with Tom Berenger and Stephen Lang. And I forgot the guy that was on the – he played the president of the White House. What was his name?
I was just saying good morning.
Estevez. What's well, his dad.
Martin Sheen.
Yeah, he was in it. He was a nice guy. I mean, these guys came out to the campfires at night and would say something like, thanks for being here, because without you guys, we don't have a movie. They knew without us, you know, it was not going to fly. But then you got to meet and talk with people like Stephen Lang and
If I could interrupt, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me just accentuate this point, because Perry would probably be far too modest. You remember the clip we played last week of Stephen Lang's incredible oratory as he portrayed Stonewall Jackson. The man who played Stonewall Jackson in Gods and Generals is a man that Perry Short got to know, Stephen Lang. He also played George Pickett in Gettysburg. So you got to know not only Stephen Lang, but you got to meet Martin Sheen. You got to meet Matthew Broderick, probably the biggest of all of these stars that we're talking about. Ferris Bueller himself in the movie Glory, of course. And, of course, Matt played on the wrong side in that film, but we're not going to get into that. But you still got to meet him. So you've got to be in a number of very big-budget Hollywood films, Gods and Generals, Gettysburg, Glory being among them. You got to meet the stars of all of these things, Stephen Lang, Tom Berenger, Martin Sheen, Matthew Broderick. These are all people you spoke with. By all means, Perry, be sure to share with us the most interesting story. But I am absolutely fascinated by Stephen Lang's portrayal of Stonewall Jackson and Gods and Generals. So tell us a little bit more about the kind of exchanges you had with Stephen Lang.
Well, Steve, I had my book, The Killer Angels, written by Sarah. And Stephen signed that for me. I took a picture of him. And so we were just chatting in the actor's tent. And even though he was a New York Jewish-born Broadway actor, he believed in states' rights. He knew that the South was fighting for the rights of the state, just like we talked about prior to this when Thomas Jefferson set this country up. It was supposed to be about the United States of America, with the emphasis on the state. And Stephen was always talking about that. He said, in my readings and in my examinations, the states were supposed to be preeminent to the federal government. And the only time the federal government was to get involved was to protect us from outside wars. But the states were paramount. And that's what he and I agreed upon. I said, you know, in my opinion, you've read right. I think you have the readings of Thomas Jefferson down. But that's what he believed in. He's a very educated guy. Obviously, he's got his own TV show now called Terra Nova. He was in Avatar. He was in Tombstone. He was in Gods and Generals, Gettysburg. Great actor. And very versatile. He was in the John Dillinger movie with he was the policeman that actually shot Johnny Depp. He's been in an amazing amount of movies. So how versatile can you get?
Yeah. How much A-list name dropping can we do during this last 10 minutes? We're going to try to work it all in. But you know, as God is my witness, my father, his favorite movie of all time is Tombstone, and it's a great movie. If anyone hasn't seen Tombstone, it came out in 93-94 around there. It's certainly the best contemporary Western to be released. One of the best Western. I think it stands equal with any of the Westerns released even back in the Western era. Kurt Russell's portrayal of Wyatt Earp. Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday. Absolutely incredible. But Stephen Lang was in that, too, as a very memorable character. He played Ike Clanton. And anyway, certainly doesn't hold a candle to his portrayal of Stonewall Jackson in Gods and Generals, but Perry Short has, let's just face it, he's worked with all of these men. He got to meet these men. Did you meet, now, one thing I heard, a direct descendant of Robert E. Lee was also in that film. If I understand correctly, Robert Duvall shares the blood of Mary Custis. Did you get to meet Robert Duvall at all?
I did not meet Robert Duvall, but that's exactly right. He is a descendant, but he played an excellent Robert E. Lee in Gods and Generals, especially that first scene when he was offered the entire command of the Federal Army, and he turned it down. And why did he turn it down? Again, we go back to the emphasis on the state, because he could not raise his sword against his home state, Virginia. Again, the emphasis on the state, small government, decentralized government versus centralized government. That was the emphasis back on the constitutional grounds that we started this nation on, 1776, when we declared ourselves free from England. Small government. If we wanted to remain big government, we should have just stayed under England, but that was not what we wanted. And now that that war was lost in 1865, what have we had since then? Centralized government. And it has morphed into this Marxism, basically, that we have in the office today. So, yeah, in my opinion, the wrong side won the war. And you know what's so funny? When I meet reenactors from Illinois, from Indiana, these guys that are actually born Yankee guys say to me on the battlefield and just did it Shiloh, the wrong side won the war.
I got to say this to accentuate Perry's point there. I go to the post office, and God bless this guy. There's a gentleman at the post office, the only white guy that works at the post office in Memphis. Excuse me, but he is a Confederate reenactor, and you know he already knows who I'm talking about. We're not going to mention his name on the air, but you know who I'm talking about. And he says that he has to, from time to time, against his will, reenact as a Northerner, because when you go to these things, nobody wants to play the role of the Northerner in the reenactment. Perry, you know who I'm talking about, but we're not going to mention his name. But is this something that you, obviously something you see?
Well, down here, you know that is true, and. In fairness, you know, sometimes they have to put on the blue jacket to make it a realistic event. But I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know the guy. But it's just funny to meet guys from the North. And just not even a week and a half ago, we had this conversation. Southern Illinois is a pretty staunch Confederate area, whether you know it or not. Again, they don't like the Marxism that's going on in the state of Illinois, especially from the thugs in Chicago. But they'd like to be separate from that, but they're not. That's the state they're in. But you know, the whole emphasis, when I read stories like another book I've got here, Rebel Private Front and Rear by William Andrew Fletcher, this is exactly what the diaries that I got a lot of information out to write this book. The Confederate soldiers themselves stated that this war, if we lose this war, they're going to tell the story, and what they're going to tell is not that we're fighting to defend our homelands, and they're not going to give you a fair percentage of who does not have anything to do with slavery. They're going to doctor it up, and they're going to fix it up to win the minds of the future generations. That's exactly what's happening in the history books today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I had intended, and we're down to the final minute of the show tonight, I'd intended to spend this entire segment reinforcing why you should check out PerryVShort.com, why you should buy his book, Generation of Warriors, but I got so starstruck during the commercial break, he rubbed elbows with you know, Stephen Lang and Tom Berenger and Martin Sheen, and you know, all I've got is pictures of, I've got Pat Buchanan here, but that's it. Facebook.com, Generation of Warriors on Facebook. And Perry has pictures of him with some of the actors from these films that we have been celebrating during this final segment. So go to Facebook.com and become a friend of Generation of Warriors. That's not only Perry's handle on Facebook, that's also the title of his book. Perry, 30 seconds or less, how can they get your book? Obviously, your website would be the quickest way, but that's not the only way.
If you're local in Memphis, there's two outlets that have it. One is the booksellers at Laurelwood at Perkins and Poplar. It used to be called Davis Kidd. They've got it. And also Cooper and Young, Burke's Bookstore, has got some signed copies in there. And again, the website, you can order it off of PerryVShort.com or AuthorHouse.com or even Amazon.com. You can Google it and order it there. But I appreciate it. You know, I'm not trying to get rich off of it, just trying to get my money back because I had to self-publish. And I'm to that point now. So, but it's been a great thing and something that'll outlast me. And James, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Listen, it was an hour that went by far too quickly. We've had Eddie the Bombardier Miller as a silent partner in studio here, and he has been getting to know Perry during the commercial breaks, even during the show a little bit, when I had the mic at least, and he's got Perry's book in his lap. It's been a sensational show all the way around. The best decision I've made all week is having Perry for the full hour, and he's been a sensational guest. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to check him out at perryvshort.com. On behalf of all of our guests tonight, Perry Short, Jared Taylor, Reverend Ted Pike, and the hosting staff, God bless you, God keep you, and we'll see you next week here in the Political Cesspool. I'm James Edwards. Good night, everybody.